Thanks, Father Jim. I'm going to paste those questions into the chat for us before we go off to our breakout rooms. And just a reminder, you will need to unmute yourself to speak to each other for this next period of time. Judith, how long do we have for these today? Do you know?
Father Jim just said 20. Would that work?
That should work fine. Yeah, okay. I just want to be clear. So you will be randomly assigned by the Zoom algorithm to a small group of folks, no more than three or four. And you'll be spending about 20 minutes together with these questions. So we look forward to seeing you back in the main room here in just a few. It looks like everybody's back. So a little time for some Q&R, I believe. So you're welcome to place a question in the chat if you'd like to type, or you can raise your hand digitally, if you recall, by clicking on the participants button, and the raise hand button will be on the right, and I'll see that digitally. It's much harder for us to see you waving because we can't see everybody at once. So another option would just be to unmute and try to begin sharing. So feel free, and we're ready to go.
Well, I see the first, in the chat room, first question is, do weekly sermons? Yes. I live here at St. Anthony's in San Gabriel, so I don't know ahead of time which masses I have. I'm bilingual. They sometimes put me on the Spanish mass or the English mass, but if you check in and go online, yes, we do live stream. Corey. Anna.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
How have you handled this time, first of all, during COVID, but secondly, during the election? I know you've given great advice about what to do, but I'm just wondering how you personally have walked through it.
Good question, Anna. Well, I like to read Psalm 62. That's been a real fortifying strength for me. That's a psalm that says, my strength and my refuge is in the Lord, my God. And it speaks about all the vicissitudes in life, feeling attacked. So that, to me, is very appropriate. I also, every morning, just sit in silence in centering prayer. That grounds me. And so often I find that just by sitting there in silence, my mind is caught up with all the concerns and worries that we all know. Just slowly letting it go and saying, okay, God, it's yours. It's yours. Another way is I've been practicing what I was saying, I forget what the number was, but surrendering time and time again, especially in a very specific way. I have, whenever I'm confronted with a situation, I feel overwhelmed or that I can't control it. Hey, Lord, I just surrender into your hands. It's up to you to take care of this. And finally, I delved into a very old Catholic spiritual practice, and that is when I pray the rosary, I pick different people or intentions, and I integrate it. So I say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for Donald Trump, not the hour of his death. And I usually start the decade off pretty angry, pretty upset. By the time I get to the 10th Hail Mary, it's usually kind of calmed down a bit. Or I'll make a general, pray for our country, not the hour of our death, or pray for our church. And that's helped a lot, too. And I usually do that while I'm driving, so I get a twofer. Calms me down like driving too. I guess I would add one more, and that is talking also to what I would call mature adults, people who are willing to hear different opinions. And by mature adults, I'm not just talking about people who agree with me. I belong to a support group, and we really talk heart to heart. So I think it was, Parker Palmer that talked about communities of congruence, so that type of thing. So those are what's helped me.
Jim, we've got a question in the chat from Catherine Weisenberg. She says, I know you've done a lot of ceremonial and ritual work. I'm wondering if there's a simple or something you might suggest to release fear, befriending what is and merging into love, or whatever you feel might be helpful beyond the thought level.
Excellent question. Absolutely. Here are some simple things. One is what we did at the beginning that Jim so beautifully showed us about, and that is breathing. You know, the great deep lessons of religion, of spirituality, of God are embedded in our humanity. And so practicing consciously breathing in, like say peace or strength, whatever it is you want to receive, courage, and then breathing out the opposite. That may take several breaths, or you can join that together with opening and closing your palms, holding on to the tension, acknowledging it, you know, I feel like I have no control here, praying for the grace to let go of your need to control. And maybe you can only do it halfway. Just honor the way you're feeling. Those are simple ceremonial ways of doing it. In terms of ritual, I think you'll find things like this to be helpful. Traditionally, whenever it's about letting go, especially like a fear, it needs to be something that's a powerful symbol. So I'd recommend, like, say, writing down very specifically what it is you're afraid of on a piece of paper. It may be a whole list of things. It could be personal fears, social fears, things at the work. Write them down, crumple it up, and then burn it. The burning will match what you're feeling inside, the burning of the anger. And watch it burn up, of course, guard it so the ashes don't fly away. Secondly is you can do the same thing by writing it on paper or writing it on a piece of wood or on a leaf, a large leaf. I've done that before. And then burying it, let it be part of the process of recomposition. You can bury it with a shovel. You can bury it with your hands. It becomes very earthy. Or using the back of your boot to dig a small enough hole to get it in. You may find it helpful, again, if you want to use a piece of paper or something like that, is to just by tearing it up into pieces. Another way is to recognize the power of throwing or kicking, whatever it is you use. You can use a symbol like, say, a ball or a wadded up piece of leaves or a stick, you know, the throwing of it, or kicking. One time I did a ritual where I picked a boulder. And the reason I picked the boulder was I knew it felt like a heaviness in my heart. And so I lifted it up, put it on my shoulder, and I walked honestly as far as I could because I was sweating. It was so heavy. But I knew for the ritual to be real to me, I had to hold on to it for a certain length of time. And finally I said, okay, God, this is yours. I've had this long enough. And I threw it with all my strength, and it went about 2 feet in front of me. But just the letting go, my whole body went, whew, I could feel it. So those are some ways you can do it, but that's a great question.
Jim, someone else in the chat's wondering if they can have a link for your homilies. Is that possible?
Yes, I'll send it to either you or Judith. I can do that.
Okay.
All right. Good. Okay. It's like you got lots of answers, no questions. That's great. Well, I certainly stand with you and for you in this struggle. It's a time of real growing up, you know, and embracing the larger reality that's beyond us. So I'd like to give you, if no more questions, I'd like to give you a final blessing. This is a blessing from John O'Donohue of Happy Memory. It's a lengthy blessing, but I think you'll like it. The title is called A Blessing for One Who's Exhausted. Isn't that what we're feeling? We're just exhausted by all this tension, the seeming endless ripping apart, destruction, feeling of being caught up in a vortex of chaos. So I thought this was really appropriate. And it's a good juxtaposition with what Tim did at the beginning, that we experience this chaos and the struggle when we're out of rhythm, the rhythm of creation, rhythm of our bodies, rhythm of life. So this is, I think, a perfect blessing for us. Okay? Does that sound all right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. A blessing of one who is exhausted. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You've been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There's nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken for the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and sadness takes over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rush through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that foster the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart, the joy that dwells far within slow time. A blessing for one who's exhausted. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Most of us have reached the age where we realize that all of faith is about stepping into the unknown. I want to thank you, Father Jim, for demystifying a bit the confusion around us. You've helped us replace the fear of the unknown with the curiosity and with confidence in our power of doing the repair and the healing that's needed around us. Perhaps we might end with a paraphrase from St. Teresa that our mentor, Pat McClure, came up with, suggested. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this post-election country. Yours is the voice that calls us back into working order. Yours is the mind that finds common ground for the next steps forward. Yours is the heart that has the power to forgive and insist on reclaiming each other as brothers and sisters of the human family. Thank you, Father Jim, and thanks to all the friends of Word and Life who participated so generously with their time and interest in this Healing the Heart of Democracy series. And please stay tuned for announcements of our upcoming Word and Life series beginning on January 14th. And focused on the inner and outer work of racial justice and order. We'll be working with two books. First is How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi. And secondly, an old, kind of a classic book of Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. So that'll be the subject of our study in January. Hope to see you all there, and bring a friend. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, everybody. Namaste.
Have blessed holidays.